Loving Lord, you know that we, your children, often struggle with answering your call. Help us to be honest with you about our objections so that you can show us how we can leap into action. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, the ever-obedient servant, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So like many people, there have been times in my life when I've thought, you know, I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do with my life. Now, to be fair, I think the Bible does tell us in general what we are supposed to do with our lives. Love God, love neighbor, love one another, spread the good news of Jesus Christ. I think that's all pretty clear. But when people say, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do with my life, they want a specific direction, right? They want to know, how am I supposed to love God and love my neighbor? But let me tell you, as someone who's been on the receiving end of that, as somebody who's had more than a few moments in my life where I felt really clear about what God wanted me to do, I can tell you that after I've received that clarity, I thought, God, I just wish I had no idea what you wanted me to do with my life. Because, friends, the truth is, God seldom calls us to do the easy thing. God often calls us to do something incredibly difficult when we need to take that leap into action. When I was wrapping up my college career, I thought that I would just go straight from college to seminary. I was sure I was going to be what we call a pipeline baby, right down the pipe from high school to college to graduate studies. But after prayer and reflection, I realized that my heart wasn't yet spiritually mature to begin that process. And so I began to look into options. I had conversations with people I really admired. I prayed about it some more. And I realized that God was calling me to be a Peace Corps volunteer. And this made perfect sense to me because I loved adapting to new cultures and I really loved serving other people. And so I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity for me to serve as a Peace Corps volunteer. And so I went through the entire Peace Corps application process. I had the written application, then I had a Skype interview, then the medical screening process. And this is a long process, y'all. The whole thing takes, on average, 15 months. So that's how long it took me from beginning to end. And at the end of that 15-month period, I got a letter in the mail. When I opened it up, the letter told me I had been accepted to serve as a Peace Corps volunteer in Ukraine, teaching English as a foreign language. Now, this should have been good news, right? But when I got this letter, I just felt crestfallen. Now, lucky for me, my mother was in the house, and she could just tell by looking at my face that I was disappointed. And so she came to me, and she said, Larry, what's the matter? So I said to her, Mom, they want me to serve in Ukraine. You know that I've studied Arabic and French, and so I could be really useful in, you know, large parts of Africa and Asia and the Middle East, but in Ukraine, what do they even speak there? Ukrainian? Russian? I don't know those languages. And so my mom said to me, Larry, they may not speak French or Arabic in Ukraine, but if you could learn those languages, you can learn Russian or Ukrainian. You'll be fine. And then I said to my mom, but Mom, they want me to teach English. I don't know the first thing about teaching English. And my mom said to me, Larry, they will have teachers who will teach you how to teach English. And you already have a love in your heart for working with children, so don't worry about that. You'll have a head start on many of your peers. You will be fine. And then I got really honest with my mother, and I said, Mom, I'm just not sure they really need me in Ukraine. I mean, it's part of Europe. It's part of the former Soviet Union. It's basically a developed country. Why are they even sending me over there? And so my mother got real honest with me. And she said, Larry, do you really think they don't have problems or poverty in Ukraine? Do you really think just because it's in Europe and most people have your skin color, people don't have issues? Larry, trust me, there's a reason the Peace Corps exists in Ukraine. There's a reason you were called to go there. I think you should answer the call to serve. Now, my mother is a very wise Christian woman. And because of her, I did serve as a Peace Corps volunteer for 31 months. Because of her, I served in a small town of 15,000 people where the average family made less than $5 a day. Because of her, I served in a school system where I was able to help get them new textbooks, new computers, and a new playground. None of that would have happened if God hadn't worked through my mother to tear down those objections, all of those objections I had in my head, and build me up toward obedience. But friends, the truth is that my initial reaction when I got that clarity from God about what I was supposed to do, that direction in my life, That objection is not an unusual response. If you are the kind of person where you have already felt God telling you what to do in your life, you know that God seldom calls us to do the easy thing, so objection is a natural response. For those of you who haven't yet received a God-given call in your life, you're probably thinking, Larry, what are you talking about? It would be amazing to know what God wanted me to do in my life. If I had that clarity, if I had that direction, I would give anything for that. I'm going to tell you all a little secret. You know that thing in your life that you know you should do, but you don't want to do it? That thing that feels so important but so incredibly hard to do? That might just be the very thing that God is calling you to do. And so if your first response is an objection to that, guess what? You're in pretty good company, because that's exactly the way that Moses responded when he first got his call from God. Remember, the very first thing that Moses said to God when God said, "Go free my people in slavery," is, "Who am I to do this? Why do you think I should do this job?" Remember, Moses was a shepherd in the wilderness. He was a nobody. Sure, he had grown up in Egypt, but when he left, he was a fugitive from the law, a murderer. And on top of all that, he had a terrible speech impediment. And he was going to be going toe to toe with the most powerful man in the most powerful nation in the world. So of course, Moses had a great deal of anxiety about this call. And just to underscore this point, the book of Exodus spends chapters 3 and 4 talking about this conversation between God and Moses. Do you know what happens in the first two chapters of Exodus? Everything from the history of how the Israelites become slaves in Egypt to Moses' early childhood and adulthood. Exodus spends equal time talking about all of those events as it does this conversation between God and Moses, because that's how anxious Moses was about his call to serve God. Now, in my own life, I didn't feel quite that level of anxiety, but my call wasn't nearly as important as Moses's. But I still had my objections, right? I don't know English, I don't know Russian, I don't know Ukrainian. Do they really need me? God still had to work through my objections to build me up toward obedience to the call. And so if that's your first reaction to your God-given call, that's completely understandable. As human beings, we want to say yes when the task feels doable, and it's natural to say no when it feels impossible. But we may cry out, "God, we just can't." And God says in response to us, "With my help, you can." And there's a variety of ways that God can tear down those objections and build us up toward obedience. And we see at least three of them in today's scripture between God and Moses. First, we may think that we don't have the abilities to do what God is calling us to do, but God is the very person who gave us those abilities in the first place. That's why I love God's response to Moses when Moses says, "I can't speak well. I'm not good at this." God says to Moses, "Who gave you the ability to speak in the first place? Wasn't it me? Don't worry. I will tell you what to say. I will help you. I have given you these abilities. I would not call you to do something you were incapable of doing." And in the same way in my own life, even if I didn't know how to teach and didn't know how to speak Russian or Ukrainian before I went to Ukraine, I already had the ability to learn those things deep down. I had to grow, I had to stretch myself, but God had already given me those abilities. But if we continue to doubt our own God-given abilities, God gives us something else. God gives us helpers, which is exactly what God did with Moses. Moses continued to object that he wasn't a good speaker, and so God said, "What about your brother Aaron? I know he is an eloquent speaker. He's a priest. He's trained in this. He does this all the time. He will speak on your behalf." And in the same way, in my service in Ukraine, I had countless people helping me out, from the people who taught me how to teach, from the people who taught me Russian and Ukrainian, to the people who were in the classrooms with me teaching those Ukrainian school children. I was never without helpers. But if our own abilities and helpers aren't enough, then we can also receive an assurance of God's presence in our lives. That's exactly what God does with Moses after Moses continues to object. God says to Moses, "I will be with you. I will be with Aaron. I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. I will teach you. I will support you. Don't worry. I am with you." And even if I did not receive a verbal confirmation from God that the Lord was with me during my Peace Corps experience, I believe that God never left my side. Throughout my service, even when I had to leave that country in the middle of a war zone, I truly believe that the Lord was always on my side throughout my experience. And so God can always tear down your objection. Whatever your objection is, God has a response to it. But just in case you think that myself or Moses are outliers to this, the Bible is full of examples of other holy people who first objected to God's call. In the book of Judges, Gideon was called to serve God, to fight on behalf of all of Israel. And you know what Gideon said? Gideon said, God, I'm part of the smallest tribe in Israel. I'm part of the smallest family in the smallest tribe in Israel. And I am the smallest person in the smallest tribe in the smallest family in all of Israel. You clearly made a mistake if you want someone to go out and do some fighting. And God said, don't worry, I will be with you. God called Jeremiah to go forth and boldly proclaim God's truth to God's people in a time of great need. And Jeremiah said, God, I'm only a little boy. Nobody's going to take me seriously if I start telling them, God told me to tell you this. And God said to Jeremiah, don't worry, I'll be with you. Even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all of his humanity, when he was called by the Father to go to the cross, he went down to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. And I believe that Jesus heard those same words, don't worry, I will be with you. And so we see that holy people of God, from Moses to Jesus, have always struggled with answering the call at first. And so that means that our application this week, our challenge this week, is simply this. Go to God in prayer about that thing in your life that feels so important, but at the same time, so impossible. Tell God all the reasons you think it's impossible, because guess what? God has heard them all before. We're not that special. There have been millions of other people called before us with millions of other objections. We may say to God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the skills. I don't have the time or energy or resources. God, I know this is important, but I don't want to fail. I don't want to let you down. God, just send anybody else, please. We can lift all of that up to God, and I promise you, there's no punishment for doing that. Moses objected 5 times to God's call. And God still used Moses to free the Israelite people from slavery in Egypt. The Bible calls Moses a prophet like none other. And here's the other side. As long as we keep those objections to ourselves, the only one preventing us from serving God is ourselves. The second we raise up those objections to God, God can do something with it. I mean, imagine if Moses had just walked away from the burning bush. What if Moses had just said, oh, there's a bush on fire and it's not being consumed. I'll just walk away. Oh, the bush is calling me by name. I'm still going to pretend I don't hear anything. Even in that kind of situation, God would have found someone to free the Israelite people. But we wouldn't be reading about Moses in the Bible. And so, friends, when we take that first step of offering our objections, we move toward obedience. Even if it feels like you're doing the wrong thing, just tell God why you think you can't do it. And then step back and wait for God to tear down those objections, to remind you of your abilities, to give you helpers, and to give you an assurance of the Lord's own presence. I felt it in my life, and I know you can feel it in yours too. Now, friends, before we conclude this sermon in prayer, I just want to offer a reminder that our closing song today, A Song of Peace, is being sung in honor of all those who answered the call to serve, those who took the leap into action to serve in World War I, as well as many others who have served this country. Many of them probably felt objections of their own, reasons why they felt they could not do it, yet still they answered the call. So may our singing honor their memory, as well as be a reminder of us that it has never been easy to answer the call. Friends, please join me in a concluding prayer. God, I give you thanks for all the calls you have placed in so many lives in this congregation, and the calls you placed in the lives of those who served in the name of peace. Give us the courage, like Moses, like Jesus, and like so many others, to offer you our honest objections so you can prepare our hearts for obedience. We pray all this in your name. Amen.